that people would strengthen themselves in the company of others. And so we have a spiritual meal today. Brother Moses is going to come and feed and nourish us as he has been for a few months now. Let's give him a hand as we bless the man of God as he brings the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Good afternoon, church. Thank you very much, Pastor Pat. It's so wonderful to see each one of us here this afternoon. I want to take special recognition of a few friends that have come visiting. I'm grateful for their presence here. The Wangota family, a wonderful family, friends. Lovely family. I also saw my daughter Brenda back there. I've been seeing Brenda here for a while. And, you know, and of course, how can I forget to recognize our gold medalist? Who is our gold medalist, you know? You know, we bless God, you know. We are very honored. And I'll be speaking a little bit in that direction today. But before I begin speaking, as I prepared this message, as I thought, as I prayed, as I reflected, a song that we used to sing during my high school days, and that's many, many years ago, you know, came back to memory, and it inspired me. It's a song that used to inspire me. It has always inspired me. And it continues to inspire me. And I felt I want to sing. The Bible says, the Bible doesn't say if you have a very good voice, sing to the Lord. No. It says, make a joyful noise. As long as it is joyful, you know, it can be a noise. Now let me tell you the interesting thing. If I spoke to you in my vernacular, you'll all not understand me. And yet I'll be speaking very serious things and making a lot of sense. But many of you will look at me and think, what is wrong with this brother today? You might want to call 911, right? That's exactly what happens. When we are in the presence of the Lord, when we sing in the language that God understands, the people around us may not understand. He understands. And he receives all the glory. So I'm going to invite my sweetheart, my dear wife. Now this is the most wonderful woman I have ever met in the world. And I'm serious about that. Because if you can live with Moses for 29 years, you must be a hero. And about 3 weeks from now, it will be exactly 29 years. Since we tied the knot, and you know, and we are still growing strong. Hallelujah. It looks like we are getting younger, right? Okay. Anyway, we are going to sing this song together. The song is there. And so you can sing along, you can follow. The words are there. It basically says, it is worth it all to be God's child. It is worth everything. Do whatever you can to be God's child. Enjoy the words. Enjoy the message. But also enjoy the voices. Hallelujah. And who told you there are only four notes, or what do they call them? Octaves or whatever. Who told you? We are creating another one. Okay? Yes. Amen.
It's worth it all to be his child, to serve him through the last long night. It's
worthy to feel his power. I know he keeps us every hour. Sometimes we are right and things go wrong. We laugh and say, oh Lord, how long? Let's trust in him and wear a smile for the love of God is what he does. To be his child, to serve him through the lifelong mile. He's worthy to feel his power. I know he keeps us every hour. Although we bear reproach and shame, it's worthy enough for his dear name. The joys of man, they rise and fall, but the love of God is worthy enough.
Thank you, and God bless you. I'd like us to turn to the book of Zechariah. I've talked about this story before. I've mentioned it a couple of times. Turn with me to the book of Zechariah. I'm going to start something that I will not finish today. For if I try to finish it, then the meal might walk away. And so I'm going to try and be brief. I'll start on a process. I will complete it in due course. If you can read for us, Pastor Pat, Zechariah chapter 3. And we'll begin from verse 1. It's a short chapter. Maybe let's read the whole chapter.
Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him.
and the angel of the Lord stood by. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, If you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house, and likewise have charge of my courts. I will give you places to walk among these who stand here. Hear, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon the stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree.
Thank you very much. I have titled the message for today, Standing in the Grace of God. Standing in the grace of God. What is the meaning of the word grace? What does grace mean? God's unmerited favor. God's unmerited favor. One person has actually unpacked those letters and tried to accord each of those letters a meaning. And the word grace means God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace basically means what God has given us at the expense of Christ. The price Christ paid on Calvary to redeem us, to deliver us, to bring us to the presence of the Father. That which God gives us, which we don't deserve, that which we cannot claim to have earned, that which we cannot say is ours, that which we cannot say we have a claim on, we are not entitled to it. It is not a right. It is given to us. It is grace. You don't deserve it, but he gives it to you. And the most important grace in which we stand today is the grace of salvation. The grace of salvation. The Bible teaches us very clearly in very many places. And because of time, I'll not read each portion of Scripture, but I'll reference them. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 10 through 24, the Bible clearly teaches us that no one is righteous before God. No one even understands God. No one even desires him. Nobody even seeks him. And it says, all of us. It's not one particular group of people. All of us have failed, have fallen. We have fallen short of the glory of God. Even when we stand here and worship, we are falling short of the glory of God. And if there is anything that helps us, it is the grace of God. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 up to 9 clearly teaches us that our righteousness before God is filthy rags. When you feel most righteous, when you really feel you've made it, when you feel you've done it, when you feel you're on top, when you feel you've conquered, filthy rags. And so, in that context, the Bible gives us an example of a high priest. Joshua, a high priest, to have risen to the level of high priest. You have risen above everybody. You are above everybody. You are. And Joshua comes to stand before God as high priest to start serving God. And I look at myself and I'm like that Joshua now. And I look at you and you're like that Joshua, because each one of us is a high priest in your own right. You are your own high priest. There's nobody who is a high priest over you. You are your own high priest. You stand before God. And what happens? The moment Joshua stood before God, the Bible tells us Satan stood in front of God. It's one of the most intriguing things for me in Scripture. And I'm trying to understand it. I've just finished reading the book of Job. And the Bible says when the children of God came to report, Satan also came. And God held a conversation with Satan. Now, if you're philosophical enough, help me. Because if there's something I'm trying to understand in Scripture, it is that. Why would God engage Satan in conversation about his people? Maybe you don't have that question. Let me leave it to myself because that's the question. I'm only thinking loudly here. And here is another case. The high priest stands before God. I don't know what he was going to do before God. I don't know whether he had brought with him the sins of the people. I don't know whether he had brought with him the sacrifices. I don't know. But we are told that he stood before God. And as soon as he stood before God, Satan also stood there to accuse him. Zechariah the prophet is seeing a vision. In that vision, he's seeing Joshua, the high priest, standing before God. And Joshua, before God, filthy rags. But the devil is quick to point out, God, you thought you have a man. You have nothing. God, you're wasting time. Look at the man. Look, he's a high priest. He's supposed to be smart. He is in filthy rags. The devil is very keen to accuse each one of us. And I know that each one of us, as we sit here, the devil is busy accusing you before God. He's busy digging out your past and putting it before you and reminding you. And you say you're a Christian, and you say you are saved, and you think you don't even talk. And he will, believe you me, he will make sure he will remind you. He'll bring up something to remind you, to discredit you, to discourage you, to bring guilt. One of the weapons that Lucifer uses to fight every believer is guilt. And it's a very powerful tool. Because guilt will make you fear even to say a word. The moment you look around and say, uh-oh, then your eyes are gone. And if you can't speak the word, the devil has won. And that's what he wants. And that's what basically he's trying to silence Joshua. Every time you come to the presence of God, the accuser also comes. And every believer, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that every believer is a high priest. Brethren, when we come to stand before God, it is not in our strength. It is not in our ability. It is so interesting to watch right now what is happening in London. And I know that most of you who care to follow the events in the world today, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Olympics. And you watch those the greatest among us. Because what some of those people do, I can't even try. I can cheer and criticize on TV. But it put me there and I'm gone. But you know, it's amazing to see how each one of them, when they win gold, how they react. I want you to watch that. Some of them are so confused, they just lost, they fall down. Others will kneel down and try to do some prayer of sorts. Others will just stamp their chests and say, I did it. I am the man. I am a hero. And the temptation for all of us, when we do something or God allows us to do something, is to feel like, I am the man, I am the woman, I am the hero, I've done it. But the Bible tells us when we stand before God, it's a different story. Completely. But the interesting thing, friends, is how God responds to Lucifer. When Satan says, look at him, God does not see the filthy rags. He immediately orders and he says, take off him. those rocks. And immediately Joshua is stripped of the filthy rags and he is dressed in better clothing. That's what God does for us. That's what God does to each one of us. When we stand before the Lord, He takes away our failures. He takes away our weaknesses. He takes away our helplessness. He takes away our defeat. And He dresses us in a different way. He takes away our guilt. And somebody has said, when the devil comes reminding you of your past, remind him of his future. And as he remembers his future, he will leave you alone. Because your past is lost in his future. The Lord says to Lucifer, isn't Joshua a burning stick plucked from the fire? Last week I shared with you, I told you, each one of us is a burning stick plucked from the fire. An interesting thing is God plucks us from one fire to another fire. He plucks us from the fire of hell and plants us in the fire of the kingdom of God. And we burn on behalf of the kingdom of God. So each one of us is a burning fire. When you sin, Satan snatches you from the fire of God. Because that's what he wants. To accuse you. But the Lord stands up for us all the time. My encouragement to each one of us, let's make sure we stay in the fire of the Lord. Yes. Stay where it is hottest. Stay where it is burning most. You know, when I was doing chemistry, those of you who did chemistry, you remember the Bunsen burner? Yes. And the flames of the Bunsen burner. And they tell you about the blue flame, the yellow flame, and the red flame. Which flame are you? The blue flame is the hottest flame. That's the flame people want. The yellow flame has the soot and the dirt and all this smoke. And yeah, it's a flame. But that's not the flame. The devil doesn't care about that flame. So let's make sure we plant ourselves where it is hottest. That's why James says, draw near to the Lord, and the Lord will draw near to you. There is a drawing near that we must do. Drawing near the Lord so that the Lord can draw near to us. The interesting thing about God, He's not so interested in the filth. You know how many times we believe or think God is busy recording how filthy Moses is, waiting for that moment when I get to the kingdom and then he will play that terrible tape. What will that do for him? What will that do to him? How will that glorify him? The thing God is interested in is wiping away that screen. The Bible says, even if your sins are red like crimson, or even if your sin is like scarlet, the Lord will wash you whiter than snow. When the woman met Jesus at the well, the moment Jesus said to her, go and bring your husband, she looked at this man and said, is he a potential himself? She had had five. Could be a sixth, right? Then Jesus says, go and bring. The woman opens her eyes and realizes she's talking to a prophet. And the woman says, I don't even have a husband. I've had five. Jesus says to her, yes, you've had five. And even the one you have is not your own. She realizes she's standing in the presence of the Father. At that moment, the devil would have loved to expose this woman so that before Jesus, she's discredited and made guilty. The Lord is different. He brings healing. He brings forgiveness. He brings encouragement. When Jesus met this, the lady that they brought to him that had been caught in adultery, everybody said, the Lord says, we stone her. And the Bible tells us that Jesus stooped low and began writing on the ground. And as he wrote, each one of those men who read walked away. I don't know what he wrote. My assumption is he might have been there busy writing, John, you remember you did this yourself. And the guy with the biggest stone, only yesterday you did this, nobody saw you. The Bible says after they saw, they walked away. We don't know what Jesus wrote, but they walked away. The wonderful words that Jesus speaks to the woman. He says to her, where are they, your accusers? She opens her eyes, looks around, and they are gone. And Jesus says to her, I don't condemn you either. I don't condemn you. Brethren, one of the most powerful statements in Scripture is Romans chapter 8, verse 1, which says, there is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now no condemnation. Let me move on a little bit here and try to finish. The important thing about this story in Zechariah is that as soon as you stand before God, the cleansing process begins. As soon as Joshua stood before the Lord, the cleansing process began. The first thing God does is to change your identity from condemned to forgiven, from sinner to saint, from guilty to free. And the Bible says in Christ, we are free indeed. He removes your dirty clothes, but he doesn't leave you naked. I want you to remember the story of Adam and Eve. The moment they sinned, the devil had achieved what he wanted, to expose their nakedness. And the world today can take some joy in exposing, if they can get the biggest person and expose them, they can take joy in that. If they can take the pastor and expose him, then yeah, we've caught the big fish. The Lord is different. The Bible tells us he removed Joshua's dirty linen and replaced it with clean clothes. Each one of us has been given a new cloth. The Bible says he has given us the cloth of righteousness, the cloth of salvation, and each one of us now is dressed in a different cloth. The experience that Joshua was going through was to bring him to the point where God wanted him. Every experience that you go through is important. Every experience, whether negative or positive, that you go through is very important. It has a purpose. And we can learn this from the story of Peter. When Jesus was approaching his death, he says to the disciples, "Are you ready? Do you have all that we need for the journey?" Peter says, "Oh yeah, I have a sword here, and there's another one, and we have this, and we have that." And Jesus says, "That's enough, let's go." And when they get to some stage, Jesus is arrested. Peter takes the sword, cuts off this man's ear. But Jesus had spoken to Peter. Said, "Peter, Satan has wanted to destroy you. But I've prayed for you. After you stand, after you go through it, after you win, after your experience, encourage the others." The reason you go through your experience is so that you can encourage others. If there is something you're going through, it may be hurting, it may be breaking you, it may be tearing you apart. The Lord wants you to go through it so that you can encourage another. Of course, when you are going through it, no. But make sure, once you are through it, you testify. If you don't testify, you cheat the Lord of glory. He needs to receive the glory. Let me say two more things, and I'll close. Verse 7. Read for us verse 7 again, Pastor Pat. If you stand firm. There is standing firm. Brethren, the times are going to get harder. Things are going to get tougher. There are many things we shall not understand. There are things that will happen around us and we shall be wondering, why does the Lord allow this to happen to me? And the Bible says, if you stand firm, then you will take charge of his house. And you are the house of the Lord. Amen? If you stand firm, you'll take charge of the house of the Lord. You'll take charge of yourself. Because you're the house of the Lord. But he's saying to Joshua, "Joshua, if you stand firm, then you govern my house." Basically, there is a reward. There is a reward to everything that you go through. There will be a reward. You will not come out of it for nothing. The Bible says, God has never said to any of us, "Seek me for nothing." But those who seek him will find him. If we seek him with our whole heart. And once you have stood, he gives you a place among his people. He gives you a place among his people. But notice that during the sinning and the cleansing process, we don't see Joshua as high priest anymore. At that stage, he's not described and mentioned and talked about as a high priest. He's going through it. He's struggling as an individual. But then the Lord talks about his servant, the branch. His servant, Jesus Christ, who will come to strengthen us at our moment of need. And I want to finish here and say, as we stand in the grace of God, the Lord Jesus stands there with us. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king said, didn't we throw three people in the fire? But now I see four. And the fourth is like the Son of Man. Jesus will stand with you right in that fire, right in that presence of the Father. Whenever things are not going well, let me remind and encourage us, friends, Jesus is close by. I conclude by reminding us of that story that I talked about the other time, the story of the footsteps. The man who walked, and he got an opportunity to look back and see the path that he had walked. And he saw two sets of footsteps. And he wondered why there was another set of footsteps. And then he realized that every time he was in problems, there was only one pair of footsteps. And then he thought to himself and said, I know what happened. The reason there was one pair of footsteps, God had forsaken me at that time. And the Lord said to him, you are wrong. The one set of footsteps you see when you are going through problems was mine. At that time, I was carrying you. I was holding you. When you see two sets of footsteps, then I'm walking with you. And when you got where it was tight, I lifted you. And the set of footsteps you see is mine. I read a book a very long time ago. That book was called Like a Mighty Wind. It was a book that was written of a revival that swept through the Philippines. And in that book, there was a story of a man who had been preaching. And now he was returning home late at night. And he's tired and he's weak. And he prays to the Lord and he says, Lord, take me home safely. Because he had to cross a very big forest. And it was night, and it was late, and it was dark. And when he gets in the middle of the forest, this man was riding a bicycle. He gets in the middle of the forest, and he gets terrible stomachache, terrible pain in his stomach. And he can't ride that bicycle anymore. And he gets off the bicycle. And he starts walking. And he's saying, Lord, how can you do this to me? In the middle of the forest, I've been doing your work. And the pain increases. And he walks, and he walks, and he walks. And as he gets out of the forest, the pain disappears. And he mounts his bicycle, and he rides his bicycle home, and he does not understand what has just happened. A few days later, two men come to him. They want to give their lives to Christ. They say, Pastor, we now believe you are a man of God. And we want that God whom you have to be our God. And he says, what makes you believe? And they say, you remember this day? We were waiting for you. We wanted to kill you. And you came riding your bicycle. And you got to us. When you reached where we were hiding, you got off your bicycle. And immediately, two people joined you. and they walked with you. And we followed and followed, and we gave up. And the pastor understood the pain was to get him off the bicycle for the angels of God to join him and walk with him. There are pains that we shall feel, and the Lord just wants us to slow down so that he can join us on the process of walking in his grace. Let's stand up. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for the grace. Yes. The grace that brought Jesus on the cross. The cross without which we wouldn't be here. The grace which makes it possible for us to follow you. The grace which encourages us to know that dirty as we may be before you, we are a special people. Cleansed and washed by the blood of Jesus. Father, when things happen which we don't understand, we pray that you'll give us the grace to accept and to follow. And now, Lord God, as we leave this place and go, we pray that the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will go with us. As we go to share in fellowship, to share in a meal, we ask that the blessing of God will be upon the food. That, Lord, we shall not just eat to satisfy our physical bodies, but we shall eat to glorify your holy name. Thank you for everybody that has brought and provided. Bless them. Strengthen them. And encourage them through the week. And each one of us, oh God, as we will go through this week, may your blessing accompany us. May your blessing overtake us. May your blessing go ahead of us. May your blessing go with us, oh God. Go with us in our businesses. Go with us at our workplaces. Go with us in our families. Go with us everywhere that we shall go. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do pray. Amen. Amen.